Thank you for your love. Your love that endures forever. Because of your love, we are here. Thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit in our midst, and from whom we know that what Jesus says is true, and what Jesus says is what your voice is all about. Father God, we commit our heart to you at this moment and invite your Holy Spirit again to fill us up. We thank you and look forward to what you have to say this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are three things that we must not miss in life, which Jesus has special in a place in his heart, these three things. The first thing is the freedom. Christian freedom is, the other thing is, the opposite thing of freedom is bondage and slavery. You don't want to live in slavery, do you? There is nothing good living in bondage of any forms. And being a slave is far from the purpose of God for any human being. And you definitely want to live free. Things that can bind us are fear and our own self and the other people and sin. We'd want to live freely from the bondage of fear, our own self and other people and sin. Second thing that we must not miss in life, according to Jesus, is truth. The opposite value of truth is confusion. You don't want to live not knowing the truth either, do you? And you clearly want to know the truth and live the truth. Otherwise, your life would waver from one end to another and being confused about everything. And you certainly want to know the truth. If you know the truth, you would know the things that are really important to you and what are not. And if you know the truth, you'd have ability to discern what things you should hold on to. And if you know the truth, you'd know the purpose of life to which you give yourself. To what am I give my life? To a career? To the increase of material possessions? To pleasure, or to the service of God. So the knowing the truth is so crucial to navigate our life direction and achieve that goal. You know, not knowing the truth is like following the broken compass. And we are all, we never know the right direction and we live in confusion if we have the broken compass. So we don't want to be in that situation. That's why we must know the truth. And the third thing that we must not miss in life, according to Jesus, is discipleship. The opposite of discipleship is the crowd. The goal of Christian life is to be a disciple of Jesus. If a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus, that is what Jesus wants each one of us to be. By the way, in the dictionary of Jesus, there is no such word as Christian. He has two words, either the disciple or the crowd. Jesus never mentioned about the word Christian. Jesus makes a clear distinction between the crowd and the disciples. And there is no in-between. Either you are a disciple of Jesus or a crowd. The crowd refers to a group of people who are around Jesus. They kind of follow Jesus because Jesus offered bread and healed the sick and performed signs and wonders. They chase Jesus because of the blessings, not necessarily chase after the blesser, Jesus himself. And they are neither committed to Jesus nor trust Him. They are not convinced of Jesus as their Savior and their Messiah. They waver depending on the trends or situations. We know that this crowd who followed Jesus turned to the mob who cried out to crucify Jesus on the cross. And they are far from being disciples of Jesus. They don't have principles. They always waver. They don't have conviction. They don't have peace of God. And you don't want to be a crowd. And you want to be a disciple. So these three things, freedom, truth, and discipleships, are too crucial to miss any of them in life. Do you want to live as a slave? Do you want to live in confusion and falsehood? Do you want to live off target without Savior and Lord to follow? And of course not. And the next question is, what makes us to be a disciple of Jesus and know the truth and be set free? And how can we become disciples of Jesus, know the truth, and live in freedom? You know, these things, we don't automatically become disciples of Jesus. We don't automatically know the truth. We don't automatically attain the freedom we want. So this morning, Jesus will speak to each one of us. How can we become a disciple of Jesus and know the truth and live in freedom? Would you please turn with me to John 8? We are going to read verses 31 and 32, which is written on the front page here. Jesus therefore saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, and then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So how can we become disciples of Jesus, know the truth, and live in freedom? The answer of Jesus to this question is by abiding in his word. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. So these three crucial things in life we must not miss: discipleship, freedom, and the truth are all hinged upon this principle called abiding principle. Abide in my word. If we do that, we will attain these three things. We will become disciples of Jesus. We will know the truth, and we live in freedom, being set free from any form of bondage. So Jesus did not give any other ways to achieve these three things, essential things of life, these crucial things of life, except through this abiding principle. So abiding in the word of Jesus is the only and the sure way to become disciples and know the truth and be set free. So that's the only proposition from this text. It is a package deal for the three things that can be achieved only by abiding in the word of Jesus. So abiding in Christ is so crucial for Christian walk. It is like the oxygen mask for the patients in the emergency room. For living, the oxygen mask has to be placed to the patient, otherwise he would have no breath. So I think we need to find out then what is abiding in the word of Jesus means. Abiding in the word of Jesus. The key word is abide, meno in the Greek manuscript. Meno has a sense of someone who does not live a certain realm or sphere. So it means remain or continue or be connected to that realm. That's what it means, abide. So abide in the word of Jesus has five implications, five meanings. So abiding in Jesus, the word, involves, first of all, constant listening to the word of Jesus. Constant listening. It's not casual listening. It's not just listening once in a while, but a constant listening to the word of Jesus, which is it's at the heart, at the essence of what abiding in the word of Jesus means. What you listen to is a crucial input process that is the most basic step in abiding the word of Jesus. Without listening to the word of Jesus, it would be impossible to abide in the word of Jesus. Constant listening to the word of Jesus is not casual listening as if we would turn on the radio station while we drive. You know, that's not constant listening. That may be a casual listening. You know, we could listen without paying attention. That's what happens when we listen casually. You know, listening takes a focus. And listening gives our full attention to the word of Jesus. In order to really to listen to the word of Jesus, we have to turn off all other channels just to focus on what Jesus has to say. That's the constant listening. When is last time? Ask yourself, last time you really sit down and meditate on the word of God without any other noise. Just focus on the word of God. Try to understand what Jesus has to say. You know, why would discipleship so hard? Why would knowing the truth so not so clear? You know, why you know, we live in confusion? You know, why we still live in bondage? It is perhaps because we don't have this time of constant listening to the word of Jesus. We may have other channels we allow our heart, our mind to be occupied with other than the word of Jesus. Then it is very natural for us to live in confusion and not making to be a disciple of Jesus and still live in the bondage, still live in the slavery. In abiding in the word of Jesus is a constant listening to the word of Jesus with focus and listen to what Jesus has to say. And second thing involves constant learning from Jesus. Disciple, you know, in Greek word, mathetes literally means the learner of Jesus' teaching. That's what disciple means. So abiding in the word of Jesus is to constantly learn from Jesus. You know, there is always more to learn in this world, and especially from Jesus. You know, it's not just, you know, I know that Jesus died for me to bear my sins on the cross, and I believe. And a lot of people just move on. You know, they think that's enough for them to be saved. Of course, that's enough for them to be saved, but there are a lot more things that Jesus can offer in life in terms of learning from him. Learning has to be continued on until we have become like Jesus. You know, as long as we still walk on the earth, we have to be a perpetual learner. That means it never ends. We have to have this attitude of humility. There are always things that we need to learn from Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:14, You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, and knowing from whom you have learned them. So he exhorted the church in Asia Minor to be a constant learner of Jesus' word and stay put with the learning. This learning is more than attaining intellectual knowledge about Jesus, but becoming like Jesus. You know, we learn from Jesus to become like him. The fruit can tell if the branch is really taking the nutrient from the root. And the third thing, abiding in the word of Jesus is constant embracing the truth which the word of Jesus bear. Truth is not relative. You know, truth is absolute. Abiding in the word of Jesus involves our mind to be constantly shaped by the truth the word of Jesus bears. You know, 3 out of 4 people, you know, in the United States says that there is no such a thing as ultimate or absolute truth. 3 out of 4. That means 1 out of 4 only embrace the truth, the ultimate truth, the absolute truth. And the surprising thing is, according to the Focus on the Radio, Focus on the Family, the number do not look better among those who claim to follow Jesus. So only 25% of Christians, so-called, embrace this absolute truth. And 75%, they don't believe in the ultimate or absolute truth, which is very sad. That's why embracing the truth is so important. Constant embracing on the truth is so important to be abiding in the word of Jesus. You know, the culture we live in promote us to believe whatever. You know, believe whatever you want to, whatever is true to you, and whatever seems best for you. Live for whatever brings you pleasure, as long as it doesn't hurt others. Our culture embraces, be tolerant. Do not try to offend anyone based on what you believe. Basically, culture said, don't try to share the good news with other people because it could be too offensive. Against all this, Jesus tells us to abide in him who is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6. You know, when he says, I am the truth, there's nothing else is truth other than him and what he says, which is very narrow. Truth has to be narrow. Otherwise, it cannot be the truth. Non-truth is wider and broader, but the truth has to be narrow. And Jesus defines the truth. He is the truth. That means what he says is the truth, nothing else. It's very narrow. It can be very offensive to the people who live in 21st century, but that's what it is. So embrace the truth based on what Jesus has to say. That is so important, a process of abiding in the word of Jesus. And Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and who will guide believers into all truth. That's what Jesus said. You know, we need to embrace Holy Spirit, and he is the one who speaks the truth about Jesus and the Father, and about our destiny, about the heaven and hell. And the word says, tolerance is true love. But the Apostle Paul says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. So you cannot separate love from the truth. You know, love without truth is not love, according to the Bible. You know, Jesus loves us based on the truth that there will be judgment of hell. That's why he came to be sin for us in our place, so that whoever believes in him would be saved. So Jesus' love is based on the truth that there will be hell, there will be judgment of God at the end of our life. So if we separate Jesus' love from that truth, it's not love anymore. People are saying, oh, that is so bad, not fair. And, you know, they try to take truth part out of love. And the world promote you should be tolerant with anyone. But that's not what Bible defines. That's not what Jesus defines about love of God. Love of God exists in the context of the judgment of God, so that we will be saved by the love of God. So love without truth is not love. Jesus loves us based on the truth that there will be judgment of hell. And truth is absolute, and it's not whatever. And truth is powerful. It brings life and it brings freedom. And abiding in the word of Jesus takes us to have the truth of the word of Jesus to constantly embrace and penetrate into our heart and mind. Embrace the truth. You know, it's a constant exercise of our mind and our heart to abide in the word of Jesus. There's a fourth thing. Abiding in the word of Jesus involves constant communion with Jesus. This communion is inward and enduring communion. You know, communion is not something that we do once a month. Our church do communion once a month. But we are talking about constant, inward, enduring communion of Jesus, which is an essential part of abiding in the word of Jesus. You know, abiding in the word of Jesus is basically connectedness to Jesus through inward and enduring communion with him. And this abiding was the Son's relationship with his Father. Jesus said, John 14:10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the word I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work." You know what this means? Basically, Jesus is saying, every word he speaks is from the Father, as he abides in him, and the Father abides in him. So he's talking about deep communion, a constant communion, constant connectedness to his Father, and every word he speaks, every action he does is from the Father. So Jesus has his own deep communion with his Father and stay tuned with the voice of the Father. And he wouldn't speak any empty words out of his mouth. He wouldn't do any faulty things out of his action, because he's in deep communion with his own Father. And Jesus wants us to have that kind of abiding relationship with him, so that whatever we say is in tune with what Jesus would say, and whatever we do would in tune with what Jesus would do in any situation. So that's actually a very important part of abiding in the word of Jesus. It's not just for intellectual appreciation or academic exercise, but to be able to let the Holy Spirit flow through our heart, to be able to listen to what Jesus has to say. It's about relationship. You know, Christianity is about relationship. This is about deep communion and the constant and inward enduring communion with Jesus Christ. You know, before Jesus accomplished his mission of crucifixion, Jesus developed his deep communion with his Father through prayers and often on the Mount of Olives. Whenever he visits Jerusalem, he always goes to Mount of Olives and stay as long as he can and find rest in his soul and be able to listen to what Father has to say. And he also communicate what he needs to say to his Father. You know, we need this kind of abiding in Jesus Christ. It involves constant inward, enduring communion with Jesus through prayer, meditation, and praise. The last one, abiding in the word of Jesus involves constant obeying of the word of Jesus. You know, we listen and we learn the word of Jesus not for academic satisfaction nor intellectual appreciation. They are part of it, but they are not the goal. But in order to find out what God wishes us to do, you know, that's the purpose of why we abide in the word of Jesus, by constant obeying the word of Jesus. So the purpose of abiding in the word of Jesus is designed for action. Noah shows us what obedience means. Noah shows obedience has to be constant. Obedience has to be constant. Genesis 6:9, Bible said Noah walked with God. You know, what does that mean? Noah walked with God. You know, that means Noah constantly obeyed God every step of his life. That's what walking means, right? Noah walked with God, and each and every step he has taken was a constant act of his obedience to him. You know, for 120 years, day in, day out, Noah went out and built the ark. That's a constant obedience. And the second thing about the obedience is it has to be exact obedience. Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." The key is according to what God has commanded him. That has to be, so our obedience has to be exact according to what God says. And the obedience has to be complete. Obedience is only partial, never complete, then that is called partial obedience. And partial obedience is actually disobedience. It's no different from disobedience. Obedience is doing until all is done according to what God says. And Noah finished the building of an ark as God commanded him to do. And our Lord Jesus, the last word he spoke on Calvary was, "It is finished. It is finished." Our Lord Jesus completed his obedience when he bore the cross and died on the cross. And it is finished. It's a complete obedience. So Jesus is our model for constant, exact, and a complete obedience. And after all, our abiding in the word of Jesus has to be measurable by doing what Jesus says. So this morning we talked about three crucial things according to the mind of Jesus: discipleship, and knowing the truth, and being set free. Three things: discipleship, truth, and freedom in life. We must not miss. And basically, the one proposition we established out of today's text is abiding in the word of Jesus is the only and the sure way to become disciples and know the truth and be set free. You know, being a disciple, knowing the truth, and being set free are three essential things we should never miss in life. according to Jesus. And only way, and only sure way that we can achieve all this is abide in the word of Jesus. And then we develop these five things, five involvement that entails what it means to abide in the word of Jesus. Constant listening to the word of Jesus, and constant learning from Jesus, and constant embracing the truth. The first three they have to do with our mind. Listening, learning, and embracing the truth. It's an exercise of our mind. And the first thing, constant communion with Jesus is, it has to do with our heart. And the fifth one, constant obeying the word of Jesus, has to do with our faith. So we are talking about being in tune with Jesus with our mind, with our heart, and with our faith. You know, the great commandment Jesus gave us is to love God, to love God our Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. Strength is action. So this is aligned with the great commandment. Great commandment. And abide in the word of Jesus is essentially another expression of the great commandment Jesus gave. So abiding takes our mind, our heart, and our faith. And whole person is in tune with Jesus. Focus on Him, learn from Him, and do what Jesus says to do. And embrace the truth according to what Jesus has defined. And the thing is, do it every day. And do it every moment and every situation. And do it every step of your life and our, you know, my life. Then we'll be disciple, and we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We're going to attain all these three things by abiding in the word of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we really appreciate you. You are the champion, and you are the hero. You are the Messiah, and you are the Savior for each one of us in this room. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to show what love is all about, what the truth is all about, what the freedom is all about, what discipleship is all about. All of these essential things of life cannot be achieved without Jesus, without abiding in His word. We thank you that you give us this word that we can focus on, you know, every day, you know, every situation, every step. Let us take every thought be taken to the mind of Jesus. And let every thread of our heart be after Jesus' mercy and grace and love and the truth Jesus spoke. Holy Spirit, help us to understand what you have said today through the word of Jesus. We thank you for your presence in our life. Come into our life as we open our heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stripped away, and I simply
Thank you for your grace. We get what we don't deserve. There's nothing that is merited on our own thing, but it is all about your grace shown on the cross so that we would be saved by believing. Today, you give us clear instruction, crystal clear instruction about what it means to abide in your word. We thank you for your truth that you have shown. We thank you for the obedient life that you have shown. And thank you for your example that you have shown, your own abiding in your own Father, that you know we can take after the deep communion, deep inward communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit can be ours as we abide in your word. We thank you for all that. May the Father, may the love of the Father who is in heaven, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.